For many years, indeed going past over the past number of centuries, the only real means of communication that people had, the one with the other, was by means of writing letters. If someone wanted to get in touch with another person who lived some distance away, the only way they could do this was by writing them a letter. Then the introduction of the telegraph system and the Morse code did away with much of the letter writing and started to erode letters, the writing of letters as a means of communication. And that decline in writing and receiving letters continues, I suppose, right up until our present day. Today, we send emails. Today, we send text messages or instant messages to people on a daily basis, maybe for some on an hourly basis, and maybe for others on a minute-by-minute basis. And as a consequence, people don't write as many letters today as they used to. However, I'm sure at some stage in our life, we have written a letter. We have taken the time to write a letter to someone. To those old romantics amongst us, you can remember writing letters to your dearly beloved and telling them, exclaiming your undying love for them. There are other letters that we receive, and we would rather not receive them. And the electricity bill comes in, and the phone bill comes in, and the various bill comes in. Well, we'd rather not receive such letters. And then there are letters that we receive from individuals that we love to receive. It's perhaps informing us of something that has happened in their life. Perhaps from a relative who's living far off in another country. And they write to us to fill us in, to let us know of what has been happening to them. But it's a great blessing to receive a letter from a friend or from a family member when we are going through times of difficulty and when we are going through times of trouble in our life. Perhaps during a period of sickness, a time of a death in the family, a period of pain within the family unit. How pleasant it is to receive a letter from someone in such a time as that, to know that as we are passing through a difficult time in our life, that other people are thinking about us, that they have taken the time to write us a letter, and that they have our best interests at heart. The church in Smyrna was going through a particularly difficult time in their existence and in their lives. They were under persecution for their faith. They were being hounded by the haters of the gospel. They refused to bow the knee to Caesar, and basically they weren't having a good time. It was difficult. It was a time of hardship for them, a time of trial for them. Yet it was in such a time that God comes and writes this letter to them using the instrument of John. He writes to them to let them know that He knows what they're going through. He knows their pain. He knows their struggle. The verses 8 to 11 of Revelation chapter 2 are a letter to a church. But it's also a letter to individuals within that church, because the church is made up of individuals. Therefore, this is a letter that we can identify with today. Every child of God can take heart from this letter, because it's a letter written to us also, to us individually, as we pass through our time of struggle in our life. Therefore, as we come to these verses, as we consider this letter, I want us to consider what I've entitled, a letter to a persecuted people. I want you to see, first of all, with me about this letter, the comfort it provides. The comfort it provides in the midst of their persecution. In the midst of their darkness, God comes with a word of comfort and with a word of encouragement to them. This was God's word to these people at this time. This is what they needed to hear. This was what was going to sustain them as they passed through their valley of difficulty. It was the Word of God that was going to provide them with the comfort that they needed. Can I say right at the very commencement that if you're passing through a time of trial in your life, and you're passing through a time of great struggle in your life, a time of upset, a time of change, there's one thing you need more than anything else, and that is a word from God. It's God's word that provides lasting and true comfort for the believer. That's why, even in the trials of life, even in the storms of life, that we must not give up on our Bible reading. That we must not give up on our personal time with God. When we get alone with God and we read the Scriptures and we ask God to speak to us. Do you know one of the greatest methods of Bible study? It is to take this book and say, Lord, speak to me out of this book today. Because I need to hear from Thee. And as you're passing through a time of difficulty or trial, upheaval in your life, you need to get this word from God. You need to be found in the Word of God, that there you might obtain comfort, that there you might obtain encouragement as you pass through your particular time. These people were comforted, first of all, in the person of Christ. Look at verse 8. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last. They were comforted in the person of Christ, that He is from everlasting to everlasting the same. That He is in control. You know, sometimes we look at our world today and we conclude that this world is out of control. This world is not out of control. Because God is in control. And sometimes we look at our lives and all we can see are ashes and despair, and we think that our life is out of control. But our life's not out of control because God is in control of our life. These people were going through hard times in Smyrna, but God allowed it in His plan, in His wisdom, in His will for their lives. He is first, for by Him all things were made that were made. He is before all things. He is last, because He is the judge of all things. Oh, the psalmist put it so well. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And while all around us may change, and everything in our life may change, yet we are comforted in the knowledge and the thought that the One in whom we trust, the One in whom our faith is grounded, never changes. Never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The hymn writer said, change and decay, and all around I see, O Thou who changest not, abide with me. Also comforted in the person of Christ that He doesn't change, but also look at verse 8 again, which was dead and is alive. Here we see His omnipotent power. Which was dead and is alive. He conquered sin, death and hell. He marched out of the grave in the power of His own resurrection. He raised Himself from the power of death. He conquered the demons of hell. He suffered and He was pained as a man. But He overcame. And He was victorious. He is the all-powerful God of heaven and earth. And there's no situation that you or I are called to pass through in God's will for our life that He is not able to bring us through. He's able to sustain us. He's able to strengthen us. He's able to keep us from falling when we feel like fainting by the way. He's able to strengthen us when we feel that we have no physical strength of ourselves. Be assured today that God is well able to give you strength for the journey, no matter how hard it may get. He is the all-powerful God. They were comforted in the person of Christ, who Christ is. But I want you to come with me to verse 9 and see that they were comforted also by the perception of Christ. Look at this, verse 9. I know. Christ says, I know what you're going through. When your heart is breaking and your life seems out of control and you don't know where to turn or what to do, here's a wonderful thought, Christian. God knows exactly what you're passing through. He knows everything you're going through because He is the all-knowing God. And He is tempted, He was tried like as we are, yet without sin. He has suffered every emotion known to mankind. Do you know there's not an emotion that you will feel, but Christ hasn't felt it as well. That wonderful verse over there in Hebrews 4 in the verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Christ is touched with your pain. It's a wonderful thought. You touch something, or someone touches you, they feel it. You feel it. And Christ feels our pain. Oh, there's not a pang that rends the heart. But the man of sorrows has a part he perceives and he feels with us in our troubles. He perceived their service. Look at verse 9. I know thy works. He knew that they sought to labor on for God. He knew that they sought to serve God, even under times of immense persecution and hardship. Even at times when they felt like giving up in their service for God, they persevered, and yet God knew all about it. Let me apply that today to the Christian worker. Let me apply that to the Sabbath school worker. To the youth worker, you might feel that your labors for the Lord are insignificant and they're going nowhere. And you feel like giving up. God says, I know exactly what you're going through. And He gives us the grace and the strength to keep on going. He knew their service for the Lord. Christian, today, we don't look for the well done of man, but we can be assured of the well done of God as we labor on for Him. He perceived their service, but also He perceived their sufferings. In verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Well, these people were poor materially, especially because of their faith in Christ, which meant that they were shunned in employment, they were shunned in business. They didn't have much of this world's goods, but they were rich towards God. They had an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and one that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for them. They had riches that this world could never give. And furthermore, they had riches that this world could never take away. He perceived also those who slandered against them. Look what it says at the end of verse 9. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. Oh, the true child of God will never be totally accepted by the world. The Christian will be slandered. The true Christian will be slandered against, will be blasphemed against. Even amongst the professing church, the true church will be slandered. Those who seek to remain faithful to God and seek to remain faithful to His Word will be scoffed at. They'll be ridiculed. You think of the great pressure there is today, and the pressure that is coming so sadly to bear in evangelical circles. And that is to abandon the pulpit. To abandon the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching's not working anymore. Preaching's not for this day and generation. We need something more. We need something new in order to bring them in. Preaching isn't effective. Let's change them. And then those who do not change, we're slandered against. We're blasphemed. We're being out of date. You take me to the Word of God, and you take me to the Bible, and you take me to the verse that tells me that preaching is only for a certain generation. That preaching will come to an end. That we need to bring in the drama. We need to bring in the praise band. Yet God says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it seems right and when it doesn't seem right. Keep preaching. And there is pressure upon the true church to abandon the principles of the Word of God. And these people were under great persecution to abandon their faith in Jesus Christ. What a comfort it is to know that God knows all about it. As we seek and try to remain faithful to Him, we do it not for our own benefit, but for God's glory. What a comfort to know that in all our dark days, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, the all-knowing, the all-powerful God sees and knows and feels our pain. The comfort it provides. But I want you to see as well with me here the counsel it proclaims. See, not only did this letter provide comfort, it also proclaimed counsel or advice to these people. Verse 10. Fear none of those things. Fear not. There was the advice to the people. There was God's word to this people. Fear not, be at peace. That same thought is in the mind of the psalmist in Psalm 37. When he said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Oh, it's a very natural thing to fear. When our life is turned upside down and we pass through days of great darkness and storms in life, it's a natural thing to fear. We're only human at the end of the day. But God comes to us and says, fear not. Fear not. God wants us to be at peace. Turn with me for a moment, if you will, over to Psalm 37. And let's see some steps that we can take in order to know this peace of God. In order to know that in the dark days of life, that we can have peace. Verse 3 of Psalm 37 says, trust. That's faith. Simple faith. That's depending upon God. Trust in the Lord, the psalmist says. God, I don't know what you're doing. And I don't know why you're doing it, but I trust thee. I know that you're working all things out for my own good and for your own glory. I can't see it right now. All I can see is the turmoil ahead of me and in front of me. But I know that you're working things out well. All things work together for good. You see, in the valley experiences of life, child of God, we may not be able to trace the hand of God. But we can always trust Him. We can always trust Him. And when life takes a turn for the worse, we can trust God. And we must trust God. Another step, another thing that we can do, is found in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That speaks of joy. Even in the darkest valley, God desires us to be joyful. Of course, that will only come when our faith is steadfastly set in Christ. Nehemiah, the great wall builder of the Old Testament, he reminds the people of Israel who were saddened by the sight of the destruction of Jerusalem as they returned from their captivity. What did he say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Trust the Lord. Delight in Him. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Take those things to the Lord and leave it there. Realize that you're not able to bear it in and of yourself. That there are things that you cannot do in and of yourself. You must bring it to the Lord. In fact, there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. Cast them. Commit them. Give them to God. That we verse over in the Psalms, cast thy burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then in verse 7, Psalm 37, we've seen trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit our way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. That word there, rest, it speaks of a quietness. It speaks of a calmness that comes when our faith is grounded in Christ. When we just have to wait on God and see Him working out His purpose for our life. It's not an easy thing. At times it's not an easy thing just to rest upon the Lord. But these are the steps to know true peace. To know true happiness in our life. We have this confidence that we know this peace that passeth all understanding. These people in Smyrna were undergoing terrible times. Tough times. Times when I'm sure they felt like giving up in their Christian life. And they wanted just to throw in the towel. And like Elijah, they sat in that place of despair and they said, it's enough. I've had enough. I've had enough of living this Christian life. I've had enough of these trials and temptations. Have you been there, Christian? You've been there, child of God. If we're honest with ourselves, we be there often. Yet God comes to us and He urges us to fear not. To keep on trusting. The secret of this peace that we've been speaking about, it's in Christ. Getting our eyes off the situation and focusing them on Christ. Looking on to Jesus, as the Apostle Paul tells us, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And even when our world seems to be falling apart before our lives, yet we need to get our eyes on Christ. To be in His Word, to be in His presence. And the instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Jairus when his daughter was dead and his life had fallen apart, he came to him and he said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. Faith. Faith is the remedy for fear. And that's what he was saying to these people in Smyrna. Fear not. Trust me. I'm in control of every situation. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 10 it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. I think there's encouragement there for us. Now, many commentators are divided in what these 10 days were, whether they were 10 literal days or whatever. I'm not going to say one way or the other. We'll leave that to more learned people than I. But the thought here is that this time of tribulation would be limited. It would be for a period of time. And whatever it is that's going on in your life, there's a great encouragement here, I believe, from these verses, that it will be for a period of time. I don't know how long. I don't know how long. It may continue for a long period of time. It may be for a short period of time, but one day it would come to an end. And I think there's a thought here that this time of tribulation, compared to the expanses of eternity, would only be but for a little time. Oh, what words of counsel and advice are offered to us here. Remember, this is God's word to these people. And so it's God's word to us today. Fear not. Simply trust me. Finally, as we close today, I want you to see not only the comfort it provides, the counsel it proclaims, but finally the challenge it presents. What is the challenge here to these people? Look at the end of verse 10. Be thou faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. And perhaps even in that expression unto death, it meant that their tribulations were going to go on. Be thou faithful unto death. The Lord challenges his people to endure, to remain faithful to him. Oh, no greater testimony could we have to the world that as we pass through the valleys of affliction, the valleys of sorrow, that we don't lose hope, that we don't deny our God, that we don't deny our faith. It testifies to the world, but also it pleases God. God's will for our life is that we should not forsake him. That we should not abandon him, but that we should stay faithful to him. And he gives us every resource in his word so that we are enabled to remain faithful to the Lord. On Friday night past, we were speaking to our young people in Oma on that awful time in Peter's life when he denied the Lord. Terrible time. Yet Christ comes to him, comes to Peter and said, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know, that's a tremendous comfort today. We've one in the heavens. We've one in glory today who's praying for us. Oh, while others may come to us and say, I'm praying for you, that's a great encouragement. But Christ is praying for us. Even in our difficult days, he determines that our faith should not fail. He wants us to remain faithful to him. And also we are to be attentive. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We must listen to what God is saying. He wants us to be attentive today. Listen to what God is saying to us. And there's a great reward that we see for this faithfulness in verse the end of verse 10 and the end of verse 11. It says, I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 10. The end of verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. There's a crown of life. the winner's crown, the winner's conquest. We receive that commendation from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. The second death in verse 11. Yes, we'll all go through the first death. That death where the soul is separated from the body. For the child of God, the true, faithful servant of the cross, will never suffer the second death, eternal death, where that soul is separated from God. Of course, we must point out that these rewards are based primarily and fundamentally on Christ's redeeming work. We get this crown. We attain this crown. We are not overcome by the second death because of Christ. Because of all that He has done for us. Yet I believe there is a thought here in these words that Christ wants us to remain faithful. I would love to have known the reaction of the people of Smyrna as they received this letter, as they would have heard it read out in their churches and their house meetings or whatever. Surely it must have filled their hearts with great comfort to know whom this letter came from. It was the unchanging and the unchangeable God. To listen to the wise advice that it gave, not to fear. And as they heard the challenge that it presented, now to put those things into practice in their life. To remain faithful and to heed the word of God. Before we close today, I want to speak to those in this meeting without Jesus Christ. You're not saved. Where do you turn to in your time of trouble? How can you know this peace of God that passeth all understanding? You can only know it through faith in Jesus Christ. By trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. He'll give you a peace, He'll give you a joy that you never thought were possible. If you only will but come. May you come today to Jesus Christ and be saved. For every child of God, there's great encouragement, I believe, for us. As we seek to live our Christian life. Through the days of hardship and the days of upset. God knows what we're going through. He enables us to remain faithful to Him. May we do so even in this day and generation in which we live. Remain faithful to the Lord. Not give up on our service for God. May God give us the grace so to do. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, for this letter. Was written so many years ago to a church, to a people under great trial in their life. Yet, Lord, we thank Thee that it has relevance for us today. And we pray, O God, that we might be comforted. We pray, O Lord, that we might be challenged as well by Thy word. That as we pass through the times of trial in our life, that we'll persevere on to the end. That we'll endure in our Christian life. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll come and give us every grace, give us every help to do so. Lord, for those that are not saved, we pray, O God, You'll speak to them today. And Lord, bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. May they know this peace that can be found even in the midst of storms, this peace that this world cannot give. And praise God, this peace that this world cannot take away from us. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.